Chapter number 12. We'll only read a few verses and we'll stick around just a few verses this morning. And I want to be a blessing to you. I won't be long, or I'm going to try not to be long, and because we got some good food out there and we got a lot going on that we're trying to do. But once again, we want to thank you for being here and appreciate you coming this morning to be with us. And John chapter number 12, if you're there, I want you to say amen. And we sure, like I said, thank you very much for helping us out with that. We're going to look at John chapter number 12. And just to give you a little bit of background, John chapter number 11, Lazarus had died. Lazarus, a friend of Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter number 11 and verse number 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And so we find out in John chapter number 11 that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. By doing so, all of a sudden he set in motion the expediency of the cross, because at that point they started to try to figure out how they were going to kill him. And in John chapter number 11, after that he had raised Lazarus from the dead, we come to John chapter number 12. A lot going on in John chapter number 12, and we'll see one of the greatest acts of worship in John chapter number 12, and with an alabaster box. But we're going to take a look right here just for a moment, if we can, at verse number 20, as that's where we'll be at. And we're only going to read a few verses, and we'll stop, and we'll take a look at this thought of, we've heard this, and you probably heard this before, but it's, "Sir, we would see Jesus." In John chapter number 12 and verse number 20, the Bible says this, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.' Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" Now this title, Son of Man, here was a title that Jesus used for himself more than any other title while he was here in his ministry on earth. This verse literally means Jesus is telling them, "The time for me to die has come." From this point, the Garden of Gethsemane, from this point, the Last Supper, we see the washing of feet, things that you know in the Bible. You may not know where they fit in, but this is where they fit in. And from this point, he set his face to the cross to die for you and I. But I want to take a look at these few verses, if we will. We go back to verse number 20, and it says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." And then in 21, where it says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I think today, a lot of churches, I got a lot of friends on Facebook, and they post what they're preaching. And a lot of things that people are preaching nowadays on Sunday morning ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. I need somebody to help me right here. I've noticed that a lot, that most people, they want to preach, and they want to preach to a topic or a subject, but they don't want to preach about the topic or the subject that you and I should be preaching about. I didn't come here to get talked down to. I know you didn't come here to get beat up or anything like that, and I'm not planning on doing that. What I want to do this morning is I want to give you a good glimpse of Jesus. I think if anybody comes to church, they ought to leave seeing Jesus better than what they came. Somebody say amen right there. But too many of our churches, you don't find that. You find too many preachers that want to stand up and get on a soapbox and talk about this or talk about that. Don't ask me about my opinion about this or my opinion about that. My opinion's what the Bible says. I need somebody to help me right here. My opinion's what the Bible says, and I'm not going to spend all day trying to defend my opinion when I got it in black and white. I don't have to defend my opinion. I tell you what God's Word says, and that's what I believe. All right, I need somebody to say amen. I believe we meet for church. I believe it's to see Jesus. I don't believe it's to hash out problems between one another. I don't believe it's to have a debate about what I believe or what you believe. What I think we need to do is just get a hold of God real quick. What I think we need to do is come for worship. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there were some Greeks that came. Now, you got to understand where this all fits in. You have to understand, first off, that these Greeks are not Jews. And since they're not Jews, they didn't have a right to worship. Matter of fact, in the temple, they had the outer courts. The outer courts were for the Gentiles. And there was a wall where they could not go with the Jews, and they could not worship with the Jews. They had to stay on the outside. Can I say this? Unless you're a full-blooded Jew in here today, you're a Gentile. Somebody say amen. Now, this is important. You got to get this, because this is where it gets down. This is where it all comes together for us, because in the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he was born, there was magi that came from the east. Remember them three wise men that we sing about around Christmas time? They come from the east. They were Gentiles. So at the beginning of his life, at the beginning of his ministry, they come to find him, to honor him, and to worship him. Now at the end of his life, we see Greeks. We don't know that they're three, but we see Greeks coming from the west this time, from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they coming to honor him and to worship him. So at the beginning of his life and at the end of his life, we see Gentiles worshiping him. During his life, we see Jews rejecting him. Because they rejected him, it opened up the door. Come on, I need somebody to say amen right here, so that you and I could be saved. If the Jews would have received him, he would have set up a kingdom, but he already knew before the foundation of the world that he'd be rejected, and he opened it up to the Gentile, to those that are not Hebrew. He opened it up so that you and I may go to heaven. Amen. And here these Greeks, the Bible says, they came from Bethsaida of Galilee to worship. And the Bible says that they come and they ask Philip, they said, "Hey, Philip, we would see Jesus." In other words, now listen, this ain't just one of them things where they walked up and they said, "Hey, listen here, we'd like to talk to him, or we'd like to see him." This, the verb tense in this and how it's done, it means that it was a plea. It means that it was a begging. And they said, "Please, we want to see him. Please, we want." I need somebody to help me this morning. I need somebody to help me this morning. God has been good to us. We need to be seeking Jesus. But so many people come to church for different reasons, for the wrong reasons. We come to church to see what everybody is wearing. We come to church to see what everybody is driving. I'll just go ahead and tell y'all, he got a brand new truck. I seen it yesterday. Y'all, I just want to let everybody know, y'all all behind. He bought his truck yesterday. You're all behind. You got to go out and buy a truck today. Don't make me start picking out outfits, amen. Miss Jenny got blank. I'm just going to throw this out there. Did Miss Jenny do that for you too? You did that too? You did that? Serious? These girls got bling on their shirts. You just got a biker Sunday shirt. I'm just throwing that out there. Hey, listen, if that's the only reason we come to church, we come for the wrong reason. These Greeks came to worship. I want you to notice three things about them and we'll be done. I want you to notice, first off, they came to the right place. They came to the right place. The Bible says that Jesus up here in chapter number 12 earlier in here, we find out that Jesus is teaching in the temple. And they come to see Jesus. They came to the right place. Why? Because he was there. Can I say this? There's a lot of churches out there that are having church this morning that Jesus ain't within 15 miles of it. They sometimes, just because it's a church, don't mean that Jesus is there. I need somebody to say amen. Sister Sally done run them out. Told God he ain't welcome no more. Somebody, amen. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all been in one of them churches before. Hey, listen, just because it's got a steeple doesn't mean it's a place where Jesus comes. They wanted to see Jesus and they came to the right place. Why? Because he was there. Can I tell you this morning, you may not know what's going on in this church, but God is here this morning. God meets with us on a regular basis. He comes in here and shows out over and over again. We see people get saved all the time. Why? Because Jesus is here. And you ain't gonna get somebody that close to the resurrection of life that they don't get saved. I'm thankful for my church. We shout a little bit. I shout a little bit. We raise our hand. We even got some people that run around and run laps around here. We got some folks that are just absolutely crazy about the fact that God saved them. And I say this morning, you're in the right place. Hey, listen, this is a place that teaches truth and love. I need somebody to help me right here. The right place has a balance of truth and love. If you got too much love, come on now, there ain't no truth. without any truth, and then we got a liberal church that don't do nothing for God, but to sit there, well, I ain't going to say all that, but they don't do nothing for the Lord. If you got a church that's got too much truth and not enough love, then you go in there and it's a strict set of rules that you got to abide by, and you got to do this, that, and the other. I know what I'm preaching, because 1 John tells us we cannot have truth without love. Love and truth goes together. Can I say this? You need a church where a preacher will stand up there with the word of God and preach truth in love. And this is a church, this is a place that you can find that. Say, preacher, I heard some things about you. I've heard some things about you too. I've heard some things about you too. I got one even better than that. I seen your Facebook page. Praise God. What I ain't heard about you, I've seen. Somebody say amen. I've seen some of y'all. Well, let me hush right here, but I'll just go ahead and say this. Get some clothes on. Is everybody all right? I got some of them were saying amen. It's all the ones that don't wear bikinis. Glory to God. Preach it, preacher. They ain't wear bikinis. They're talking about, man, why are they talking about us like that on there? I had on colored underwear. That's what bikini is. Y'all know that, right? I need somebody to help me right here. Ladies, y'all know that that's all a bikini is a color underwear. All right? Yeah. We put a little floral design on a pair of underwear and call it a bathing suit. Y'all talking about wearing it. I'll preach right here. I'll preach right here. We'll just stop. Point number one. We'll just go over point number one again. A place where truth and love is preached. We got folks in here. I love it when they come in. Somebody asked me this morning, they did it jokingly. They said, what kind of people do you bring up in here? I said, good people. I need somebody to help me. People that are like me. People that are like me. People that ain't been raised in church and been taught all the intricacies of church and how they're supposed to act and this, that, and the other. Just people that just like me. They like to ride a Harley Davidson. They like to come. They like to go out and be in the open air and just have some fun. They like to go out and do some things maybe that we probably shouldn't do. Somebody say amen. Hey, anybody else pull into the parking lot and had to turn your AC/DC down? Don't lie. Hey, y'all come all the way in here listening to Highway to Hell and got there, back to the church. I'm like, I got to turn it down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, got turned down. Preacher might be standing out there. They came to the right place. They came to a place where they could be loved. Jesus loved them. But they also came to a place where there's truth. And can I say this? I don't care where you go to church at. I don't care if you come here. I don't care. Listen, wherever you go to church, there's got to be a balance between love and truth. Say, well, I don't like what he preaches. Neither do I. I don't like what I preach. God, get a hold of me. And I need somebody to help me right here. God, get a hold of me all the time at my desk and tell me, you're doing wrong, boy. I said, no, no. He said, this is what I want you to preach. I said, I don't want to preach that because I do that. He said, yeah, but this is what I want you to preach. This is truth. And you can't have love without truth. Now listen, I'm just a work in progress just like you are. So y'all bear with me, all right? I'm not the perfect preacher. I'll go ahead and tell you, I've got some problems. But I will say this, God's still working on me just as he's working on you. And this morning, listen, you want to see Jesus this morning, you come to the right place. Not only we see that, but he came to the right people. Not only we see the right place, but he came to the right people. The Bible says the same, therefore, came therefore to Philip, which was a Bethsaida of Galilee. This Philip here, now listen, Philip, that name is a Greek name. So of all the disciples, they came to one that had a Greek name. Why do you reckon that is? Because they could identify with them. Let me go ahead and preach it over here. They like it a little better on this side. Hey, they came to Philip and they said, hey, Philip, we would see Jesus. Why did they come to Philip? Because they could identify with him. He had a name that was a Greek name. I was sitting there thinking about this thing. They came to the right people. Can I tell you, this church is slap full of the right people. You get in this church and you'll find our choir director. He, you know where he can sing. Somebody say amen. He can sing. You know where he got his crash course on singing? At the bar. Singing karaoke. Somebody say amen. We used to have a bass guitarist around here, and he had a band, and they played at all the bars around Lake Park. And so he got saved, and all of a sudden he was our bass player. And you go and look through all this, you go all the way through this auditorium this morning, you can see people that God has saved from a lifestyle of sin. I remember my own, and I give you my own testimony, because if I told on somebody else, they'd say I was calling them out. But me and my wife, we got married. I was 18 years old when we got married. I was real excited about it. Somebody say amen. I passed up on, I tell her all the time, man, Georgia wanted me. I'm not on this one. I went to the University of Georgia as a recruit. I was fired up about playing football. But I was in love. Let me get back here where she can't see my face. I was in love. And when you're in love, these things that, you know, football just wasn't important. Come on now. I need somebody to help me right there. Come on. I need some of you brain dead teenagers to help me too. You know how I'm talking about. Y'all find some boyfriend and all of a sudden, he's just the greatest. What do y'all want for your life? I'm going to work at McDonald's, but he loves me. Amen. See, that's what I'm talking about. I just love him. I just love him, preacher. What y'all going to do? How y'all going to live? We don't know. There's homeless shelters, though. 18 years old, I'd finally gained freedom. I moved out at 17 years of age, and my life at that point started going downhill. I was raised in a good home. My mom and daddy, they beat me a lot, but they were good parents. My dad, he drank, and just to be honest with you, when I was 12 years old, he started giving me beer. And as long as I drank with him, y'all know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, about 17 years old, I moved out of the house. I graduated from high school, pretty much living on my own. I was living with my dad, but he was off working all the time. My stepdad was the one that was, he drank and different things. Well, anyhow, 18 years of age, me and Michelle, we get married, and I'm still wanting to just try things out. So I spent most of the first 3 years that we were married trying things out. Drinking, acting stupid. Come on, I need somebody to help me. Y'all don't get all quiet on me right here. I know who I'm preaching to, all right? But I get drunk. I'm talking about pass out in the yard. Get drunk, come pass out in the house. I mean, she never drank. I couldn't get her a drink. I couldn't get her a cuss. I couldn't get her to do nothing. She was Miss Goody Two Shoes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anyhow, but she spent the first 3 years of our lives babysitting me. That's all she did, trying to keep me out of trouble. Trying to keep me from killing myself. Trying to keep me from getting ended up in jail. And God saved me at 22 years of age. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that a lot of preachers won't tell you. God didn't take everything from me right off the bat.
That's right, preacher.
It was a process. God started working on my life. God started doing things in my life. I smoked Marlboro Lights in a box. I dipped Skoal. I'm talking about, I need somebody to say, y'all, don't act like y'all don't like it. All the women shaking their heads. I had a grandma that dipped Copenhagen. Somebody say amen. Y'all think I'm kidding? She's coming up and give me a kiss like now. It's all right. I tell everybody still to this day, if I get to heaven and find out that it's all right to dip Skoal, I'm whipping every preacher up there. Y'all hear me? I'm talking about I'm beating them all down. And buying a log. Somebody help me. We got in that thing and God saved me. And all of a sudden, God started working on my life. Amen. I'm not who I ought to be. I say this all the time, but I'm not who I used to be. Amen. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is you ain't talking to somebody that was raised on a church pew and done everything right. You're looking at a preacher that had his hard knocks. You're looking at a preacher that did everything I probably shouldn't have, but God saved me by grace.
Amen.
And God will do the same for you this morning. I'm not asking you to quit drinking. I'm not asking you to quit smoking. I'm not asking you to quit cussing. I'm not. Just don't do it in the church. Somebody say amen. I'm not asking you to do it. I believe God is big enough that on God's timing, he'll do. Is everybody listening to me this morning? I'm trying to help you out this morning. Listen, I don't know what your opinion is about our church. I don't know what your opinion is about me. But I tell you this, I am not somebody that's perfect. I make mistakes. And I am living proof that God will love you through your mistakes. God will not throw you away like the church will. God will not throw you away like a Christian will. God won't treat you like others would treat you. Listen, there's an unconditional love with God. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'll never forget the day that sunk in, and I got a real good grasp of that. I didn't have to clean up to come to God. All I had to do was come to God. Sir, we would see Jesus this morning. You in the right place. Sir, we would see Jesus this morning. You with the right people. Sir, we would see Jesus this morning. They came with the right purpose. They came with the right purpose. The Bible says in verse number 20, if you put that back up there for me. The Bible says in verse number 20 that these Greeks, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up, everybody say this with me, to worship. Let me say that again. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship. They came with the right purpose. Now I know we're having Biker Sunday, and I know we got gifts for everybody, and we got things that we're trying to do, and different things, that, you know, a free meal and this, that, and the other. But the reason that I wanted you to be here this morning is so that you could worship. I wanted to give you the same opportunity that I get every week. Every Sunday morning, we worship. Every Sunday night, we worship. Every Wednesday night, we worship. Matter of fact, we have colleges around here on Monday night and on Tuesday night. And if you're not real careful, we'll be worshiping in those too. They come here, the kids come here on Thursday night, the teenagers do, and they have a time of their own worship. We meet here with the right purpose. And the purpose, listen to me, is to worship. Now there's some people that worship different than others, as I've already mentioned. We got folks that raise their hand around here. We got folks that'll stand up. We got folks that'll just sit in their seat and cry. We got folks that'll shout out, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, or whatever. And however you worship is your business. But can I say this? We all should worship. The God that created you and I loves us enough to come and die for us. The least you and I could do is worship him. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't feel like worshiping. Don't matter what you feel like. We're not worshiping based off of what you feel like. We're worshiping based off of what he is. Amen. And he's worthy this morning. Yes. Amen. He's worthy of all of our praise. Glory. Now let me say this for you, for those of you that ain't worshiping because you ain't comfortable around all the bikers, there's problems in your worship. That's right. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, if you're here with us and you're a guest this morning, you feel free to worship. I don't care who I don't care who you are, because God is worthy. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all of our worship. I could praise him right now for 3 hours just off of this motorcycle right here. Most of y'all know, man, I pray. I'm begging God for a Harley. I'm begging him. And then God just sent an angel my way. He told me, he said, Brother Robbie, if you ever wait till you can afford one, you'll never have one. I said, that's it, Lord. That's my sign. Hey! So I went and bought one. Hey. Can you afford? No, but I bought it. Amen. Had it for 2 years. I put over 20,000 miles on it. Amen. In those 2 years. I don't ride just a minute. I don't ride. Somebody bought a motorcycle yesterday, had like 8,000 miles on it, like 12 years old, 17 years old, something like that. This thing gets rode. I know some of y'all ride a lot more than that. But I could praise him all day long on what God has given me, how good God's been to me. I got three kids. One's 21. I got one that's 19. She's in college and living with me and looking for a husband. KK, stand up. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do it.
I got one that's 16, and he needs somebody to take him up to the recruiting office. Hallelujah. I told him, I said, son, you're getting drafted. He said, Daddy, they don't do the draft anymore. So they're doing this house, boy. Come in there making C's and D's in school. You ain't going to college. You're going off to war. It's all right, son. Not everybody can be a rocket scientist, say. Grab a gun. Get out there. Hey, we'll pray for you. Don't worry. We'll pray you through. God give us a grandson. Amen. He's over here. He's sleeping right now, but he's already tattooed up. Some of y'all got to see him. He's done got all his tattoos and everything else on. He'll be a year here in just a few weeks. I look back at my life. I told everybody, I'm 43 years old. I said, man, I don't want to have no grandson. I don't want to have no grandkids at 40-something years old. I was wanting to get all my kids, like, gone. And then have some me and mama time. And then we could have grandkids. Dalton said, Dad, we're having a baby. Because I knew what that meant. Because my parents had to babysit mine. Somebody say amen. Anyhow, that youngin, I tell everybody, he's got me spoiled. I ain't got him spoiled. Whatever he wants, he gets. I'm telling y'all this for a reason, because I got something to praise God for. Amen. God could have let me die a long time ago, and I could have not seen any of my kids raised. I could have been gone a long time ago and never seen a grandchild. But God still let me have my kids. My kids still, they're around the house. I got Dalton and his wife live right down the road from us. They at the house nearby every day. I get to see them nearby every day. I got two kids living at home. They're good youngins. I love them. I got my grandson. I get to see him about every single day. God has been good to me. Amen. God's brought me all over the place, bring me to Lake Park, Georgia, to pastor a church full of some of the best people in the world that I let a crazy preacher have Biker Sunday. Amen. And ride a motorcycle in a brand new church. Amen. Thought about doing a burnout right here, but it's too hard patching carpet. Somebody say amen. God's been so good to us. And if you really sat back and thought about it, I don't care who you are, you really sat back and thought about it, God's been good to you. There's been times in your life when you say, preacher, I don't know how I made it through that time. I know. Preacher, I don't know how I made it through it. I didn't think I was going to make it through it. I know, I've been there. I've been there more than once. Not sure how I made it through it. But looking back now, I say, it was all him. He's worthy. Sir, we would see Jesus. This morning I want to tell you, there's a God that loved you so much, he died for you. He came, he was born of a virgin. Now that's important. We say it just because it's a Christmas thing. We like to talk about Jesus being born, Mary was a virgin, this, that, and the other, but it's important when it comes to redemption. Because of the fact of this, the Bible says that God formed man and he breathed life into him. And man messed it up. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. That one man was Adam. Adam messed it up for all of us. I need somebody to say amen. Now before we get mad at him, all right, understand he did it for a woman. Yeah, Eve ate first, man. Eve ate first, and then she was like, hey, I love you, baby. I love you too. Give me a bite. All humanity plunged into sin. The Bible says that sin was passed on and passed on. My grandson just woke up. He's looking at Papa. That sin passed on and on. That sin's in him. You want to? I promise you, I'd do this. I'd go pick him up, walk over here, and walk back over there and hand him to her, and you'd see him sin. That's him. That's him. More vocal than some of y'all. Somebody say amen. That sin was passed down. The Bible says Jesus came born of a virgin. There was a difference. Sin was passed down from Adam
and was passed all the way down through humanity. But the Bible says that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost, that Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost. And so the blood that ran through Jesus' veins was divine blood. Is everybody with me right here? That's what made him worthy. Say, he was a man. He was not a man. He was God in the flesh. Divine blood running through his veins. And he got on a cross and died for you and I. The Bible says that he did so willingly that he went to that cross to die for you and I. In our text right here, I mentioned it. He said, my hour is come. What hour was he talking about? The crucifixion. He said, the time has come that I must die. And he did. He died for you and I so that we could go to heaven. And this morning, I don't care who you are. Don't care what color you are. Don't care what your name is. I don't care if you can speak English or not. I hope you understand it if you can't. But I tell you this, before you walk out of these doors, you can know where you spend eternity. That song we sang at the beginning of it, I Know My Name Is There. You know why that's my favorite song? Because I know my name is there. I know my name is there. And the Bible says that I will in no wise be cast out. The Bible says I can't be plucked out of his hand. The Bible says that I am kept by the power of God. So how do you know? The Bible says these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. This morning you can walk out of here the same way. Am I perfect? No. Don't claim to be. Ask my wife. She'll tell you a lot of stories. Amen. I need somebody to help me. You can put on a show in front of everybody that's Christian. You'd like to live with that woman. I'm talking about you going. She knows. And I'm sure your wife could tell some stories about you too. Or your husband could tell some stories about you too. But I'm telling you. God will save you this morning. Say, you don't know what I done, preacher. It doesn't matter what you done. It matters what he did. It doesn't matter what you did. It matters what he did. What you did, we can fix all that. So you can't fix what I did. I might not can fix the consequences of it. But I can fix the destination of it. I can't, but he can. So this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Dalton's moving to the piano for us. We're done. I want you to be honest with me. Christians are coming to the altar and praying and helping me, please. We fixing to be done. We're going to be out of here. We're going to go eat lunch. We're going to ride this afternoon. We're going to enjoy fellowship. But I want to ask you a question before we leave out of here. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where do you spend eternity if you was to die? If you don't, I want you to do me a favor. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to do this for me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around because this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Say, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I want you to look right up at me. Not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. You can put your head down. Is there anybody else to be honest with me? Thank you. I see it. You can put your head down. If you and I hadn't made eye contact and you're looking at me, I want you to just put your hand up where I can see you. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, preacher. Is there anybody to be honest with me? Come on now. I've been honest with you. I'm asking you to be honest with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see it. You can put it down. Thank you. Christians, you praying with me if you will. I'm fixing to ask you to do something. This is where the rubber meets the road. Several have looked up at me and said that you're not sure where you spend eternity. I want you to know you don't have to leave that way this morning. The Bible says this in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us. We can't deny that. We can look back at our lives, mine included, and see that we've all sinned. The Bible goes on and says this in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. That word death right there means total separation from God. Total separation from God only happens in one place, and that place is hell. Jesus preached about hell more than he did heaven. But the verse don't end there. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He goes on and he tells us, not only we find out that there's a payment for our sin and it must be paid, but there was a gift that was given so that you and I could have eternal life. We go on to Romans chapter number 10, and the Bible tells us this. It says, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto salvation. Listen to me. It's a confession of the mouth. It's a belief of the heart. And the Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved. It said you shall be saved. It doesn't say there's a possibility you'd be saved. It says you shall be saved. So this morning, since we have so many, I want to do this. I'm going to do it different than I ever done it. But this morning, I want you to do this. If you looked up at me and said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. And according to the Bible, I want you to understand you're a sinner. I want you to understand you're a sinner. According to the Bible, there's a payment for that sin, that being death, separation. But I also want you to know there's a gift. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know this morning, according to the Bible, not according to this preacher, not according to this church, not according to a denomination, but according to the Bible, that if you confess your sin, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Understand, you need a Savior. Say, Lord, I need a Savior. And you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you and be Lord over your life. You can leave out of here, as the Bible says, saved. So I'm going to leave it in your court the best way you know how. I want you to pray. You let the Lord know. Confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. Confess that you can't save yourself. You need a Savior. And ask Jesus to save you this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you, Lord, for our service. Lord, I know we did things differently tonight or this morning with the invitation. But God, there's so many in here, Lord, that looked up, we don't have enough workers. So, Lord, I'm asking you to do a work. Lord, I pray that every one of them that looked up at me prayed a prayer to you. Lord, I understand because I've been there. It ain't eloquent. I didn't even know how to pray. But I knew I was a sinner. And God, I believed that you'd save me. So, Lord, I asked. And according to your word, the Bible said if I called out, that I'd be saved. Lord, I pray this morning they did just that. In Jesus' name. Head still bowed and eyes closed. We're fixing to leave. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, if you prayed a prayer, understanding you're a sinner, understanding you need a Savior, and ask Jesus to come in your heart, I want you to raise your hand for me so I can see.
Is there anybody in here say, preacher, I did it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else I didn't see? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for Biker Sunday. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for them coming to this church, Lord, to spend some time with us in worship. And God, I pray that everybody here has found a good, warm welcome this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep us safe, Lord, as we go for supper, or go for lunch, rather. God, I pray that you would, Lord, bless the food. God, we thank you for it. God, I thank you for the people that have sacrificed and labored, the cowards, the highsmiths, the different ones that have been here, Lord, since early this morning cooking for us. Lord, we want to thank you for them. Lord, thank you for the food and ask you to bless it. But God, thank you for this time of church where we can gather together, Lord, meet with you. Lord, I pray this morning for these that have prayed and asked you to save them. God, I pray they walk out of here different. They come in. And Lord, I pray you allow us to be a blessing to them. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.